Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, let's get our minds tuned in to the Word of God, Genesis chapter 20. Going to be covering the whole chapter this morning. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar, and there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God said to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, "You are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not gone near her. So he said, "Lord, would you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And didn't she also say, 'He is my brother'? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. This is why I did not let you touch her. Now return to the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all yours will die." So early in the morning, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, "What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done." And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What was your reason for doing this?" Abraham replied, "I said to myself, 'There is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother. And she became my wife. And when God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, 'This is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother.'" Then Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves, gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "My land is before you. Live wherever you like." To Sarah, he said, "I am giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you, who are completely vindicated." And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his slave girls, so that they could have children again. For the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. May God give us understanding of his holy word, amen. Great story, true story. So in this series, you know, we're studying the life of Abraham. In the last message, we learned that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the other cities on the plain, except Zoar, remember? About 2 weeks ago now. And he rescued his nephew Lot and Lot's two daughters. And We know what happened after that. Don't need to reiterate. You know the story. Very unfortunate, but true. And after this, we don't hear any more about Lot whatsoever. I think we've pretty much heard all there is to know about him, according to the Word of God. But there's so much more to learn about Abraham, amen? So much more. This is just the beginning. So let's just open in a word of prayer again. Father, we want to thank you again for being here. We want to ask you to forgive us of our sins in one form or another. We ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, fill us with your Holy Spirit, help us to receive your word. May it speak to us personally and apply it to our lives in a practical way and learn these lessons. This is one of the reasons why they've been put here, for our benefit, so we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For as long as we live in this mortal body, this tent, because a tent is only temporary, it's not a continual dwelling place, we're going to have a problem with the old sin nature that manifests itself in sins that we commit in our lives. So when we think we have mastery over these specific besetting sins, when we think that, we're told, be careful lest you fall. We often find ourselves making the same mistakes over again, don't we? Well, you may not. I don't know. Maybe you're in denial, like Moses, you know. In denial? Okay, we'll carry on. Abraham was no different. He was a repeat offender. Why? Like us, he's not a perfect man. And instead of learning from his past mistakes, Genesis chapter 20, we just read, tells us that he did repeat them again. Remember when he went down to Egypt and he didn't tell them that Sarah was his wife? He also told her to lie to the Egyptians, thinking that they would kill him to get to her if they found out the truth. So when she was put in Pharaoh's, what do you call it, harem here? Harem, is that what you call it? Harim, harem, depending where you were brung up. She was a candidate for marriage. Pharaoh didn't have a clue that she was Abraham's wife. And this could possibly lead to her giving birth to his children. Abraham almost derailed God's plan for him and Sarah to produce the chosen seed, Isaac, that would eventually lead on to the nation of Israel. But thankfully, the truth came out, which it normally does. And they were forced to leave Egypt after causing so much trouble for those people that lived there. And that's what sins do. It not only creates problems for us, amen, it also affects other people as well. Have you discovered that? It does. You know, no man is an island, you know, no woman is an island. Now, 25 years later, Abraham traveled south again towards what would become Philistine country. Again, he tried to deceive the people, not telling them that Sarah was his wife. And again, she was a candidate for marriage. You've got to remember that this woman is about 90 years old. And Pharaoh took her into his harem. So they didn't age as quickly back then as we do now. And she must have been quite a good looker. Otherwise, why would he put her into the harem? She was. She was beautiful, 90 years old. And I'm not saying you ladies that are around 90 years old are not good looking. Some of you are very, very attractive. But she must have been a real corker. to be put in with these concubines, you know. And again, she was a candidate for marriage. And she was put in King Abimelech's harem. Now, the couple, Abraham and Sarah, they repeated the same mistake. Then they put themselves in danger instead of avoiding it. They could have avoided it if they told the truth. And we need to make sure to avoid being drawn away from the things of the Lord and enticed by the devil to disobey God, just like our original parents did back in the garden, Adam and Eve. So, Abraham and Sarah, having got themselves into this mess, like we do sometimes ourselves, God had to come to the rescue again. Why? In order to protect his covenant promise that he made to them, that from Abraham's seed, Sarah would give birth to a son. God does protect us, amen? He protects his people, but just because he protects us, it doesn't mean we get away with being disobedient. Have you discovered that? The truth normally comes out like it did in this case. Now, God spoke to Abimelech in a dream, and he threatened to kill him. And God always keeps his word. He doesn't mess about. And the threat was real, even though the king had not slept with Sarah yet, but she was a candidate. Abimelech was an innocent man. He wasn't aware of Abraham's deception until now, until God revealed it to him. Now, understandably, he was literally scared to death. And he pleaded with the Lord for mercy. And because the Lord is merciful, amen, he granted Abimelech's request as long as he obeyed him. And he did the right thing and he followed his instructions. That was the proviso. And being a smart guy, Abimelech did the right thing. You know, to do the right thing is always to follow God's instructions, right? Always follow God's instructions. That's always the right thing to do. You know that. Amen? So, God called Abraham his prophet. Now, this is the first time we hear this. Meaning, he was not just a righteous man. He was equipped by God to speak on his behalf. You know what? So are we. So are we. And also to intercede for people. So are we. Is that what we do? We pray for people. We intercede for them. Right? And this is what he would do, Abraham. He would intercede for Abimelech in prayer. God told him, tell Abraham to pray for you. He's a prophet. And this is what happened. It says here, 17:18. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves, so that they could have children again. For the Lord had kept all the women of Abimelech's household from conceiving because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. God told the king to do the right thing. And he said Abraham would pray for him, and the king and his family would be restored to normality, which they were. We know that Abraham was a righteous man, but at this time in his life, he wasn't walking with the Lord. He was functioning in the flesh. We could all be like that if we're not careful. And just like King Pharaoh did 25 years earlier, God used this pagan king, Abimelech, to rebuke Abraham, the righteous man, the one that knew better, supposedly, for his dishonesty. Abimelech called Abraham in to the palace. He said to him, what have you done to me, to us? How have I wronged you? Have you brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should never have been done. Now, this man, this pagan king, supposedly, feared God, and he felt guilty. His conscience was bothering him. Yet Abraham, the so-called spiritual one, made excuses and then tried to justify his actions, his disobedience. What did he say? What did he did the blame game. He blamed the Egyptians. He blames his father for the birth of his wife, Sarah. If he hadn't taken another wife, she wouldn't have been born. I wouldn't have married her. He even blames God for telling him to pack up and leave his homeland in Ur of the Chaldeans. And ever since then, he's just been wandering and living in tents, not knowing where to go or what to do. So instead of owning up to his mistakes, he played the blame game. He had a pity party, super pity party. And just like the first man, Adam, after he disobeyed God, what did he do? He blamed his wife. He blamed his wife. And then she blamed the serpent. And the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. You've probably heard that before, but it's good to hear it again. It was meant to be. And that's what, isn't that what we do when we're caught in a lie? We justify what we did, and then we either put the blame onto something or someone. Someone else, like Eve did. The devil made me do it. Devil made me do it. It's his fault. Yeah, he enticed you, but you made the choice to do it. Duh. So when we're convicted by the Holy Spirit, what we've done wrong, because he's faithful to remind us, we have to confess it. Get it off our chest so we can have a clear conscience. Turn from it. Move forward. And don't repeat it like Abraham did. Easier said than done. Possible, though. Got the power, don't we? We got the power. There's a song that reminds me of that. I got the power. Remember that one? Anyway, Abimelech got the message loud and clear from the Lord. And he was glad to see the back of them from the palace. Not that they completely left the area. He was willing to allow them to live in that area. But he was glad to see the back of them in his palace. And so glad to see the back of them and not to offend either of them, because he feared God and he knew Abraham was a prophet. What did he do? He loaded them up with gifts. Gifts of all kinds. Materially, animals of various types, shapes, sizes. And slaves. He even compensated Sarah to cover any embarrassment she may have experienced. In case her reputation had been tarnished in any way, shape, or form. Which it was. And he said, the king, 1,000 shekels of silver. This is for you, my dear. This is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated. You're just glad to get rid of her. And he gave her, how much was it? 1,000 shekels of silver. And apparently that would have weighed in today 25 pounds. 25 pounds of silver. And imagine trying to lug that around. Most of us won't be able to lift it. And there's a song that goes, a Beatles song, "Money Can't Buy Me Love." Do you remember that one? But another thing that money can't buy is a good reputation. And Abraham blew his testimony, living amongst those unbelievers. And like us, we have a responsibility, don't we, to live for Jesus, so that the unbelievers that we associate with can be drawn to Christ and not repelled by us. Amen? Now, even though Abraham and Sarah, they blew their testimony, they blew it again, made their repeat offenders, they keep making the same mistakes, God still blessed them. He still provided for them. And he will always provide for us. Amen? You know that. He does. What a gracious, loving Heavenly Father. He will always provide for us. We lack for nothing, do we? Okay, we have food. We have a house over our heads. All the blessings and provisions come from the benevolent hand of God, our loving Heavenly Father. That should make us more grateful. We have so much to be grateful for. Things we take for granted, we may not have a lot. Some of us do, some of us don't. But compared to the majority in the third world, we are super rich. Super rich. We should make us more grateful and love him even more despite our failures. And we do fail, unless you're perfect. I haven't met one yet, except Jesus. He's the perfect one. It's just like our own children. When they are disobedient, we still love them, don't we? We still love them. Even though they fail us, they don't live up to our, necessarily up to our expectations. Even though they'll try our patience to the nth degree, they'll test us beyond human endurance, we still love them, don't we? Remember that child story, that child, he kept sassing his mother. She said, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." It's just a threat, an idle threat. I've maybe told you the story. My mother, you know, if I ever try to sass her, you better move. You better move. And in England, you know, they drink a lot of tea. And she would sit there in the armchair by the fireplace. You have a tea. Have a teacup in a saucer, you know, and you had the sugar and all that, and you got a little spoon in it. I remember I said something I shouldn't have said, and then I knew something was gonna, you know, she was gonna get me. Instead of getting up off the chair, give me a backhander, I just about got through the door of the living room, and she got the spoon, whack, boing. Great shot, Ma. She's a good aim. God bless her. I know that she loved me, though. The sight we love our own children. Our love for our loved ones doesn't diminish because they don't measure up to our expectations. Neither do we. Why? Because God has set the bar too high. For us to reach perfection, we never will until we leave this world. The second we reach, leave this world, we'll be just like him. We'll see him as he is. We all fall short of the glory of God. We can never attain to his standard of righteousness, no matter what we do. However, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we receive his holy righteousness. And God declares us righteous. He sees his Son in us. He doesn't see us, our sins anymore. He sees his Son in us. Praise the name of Jesus. And let me close. even though Abraham and Sarah blew it again. They made the same mistakes. It didn't change God's promise to them, not only to provide a son that would later produce the chosen people of Israel, but he also blessed them materially. They were loaded up with so many gifts, so many blessings, they couldn't contain it. And even though we don't measure up to the ideal spiritual being that we would like to be, we keep on making the same mistakes over and over again. It doesn't alter God's feelings towards us. He is always faithful. He's always merciful. He always forgives us. And he always loves us, no matter what we do. That's his nature. We're his children. And just like Abraham and Sarah, God knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly what we're like. And he not only forgives us when we mess up, which we do, which we will, he continues to bless us despite ourselves, despite our failures. Why? Because of his gracious love towards his children, which we are. His love is absolutely unconditional. Now, as I'm praying this morning, and I can preach on that, but God said, do you really believe it, Jim? Do you really believe that my love is unconditional? It is. It is. No strings attached. Let me close with this psalm. Thought was appropriate. 103. Psalm 103, verse 8 through 14. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abiding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Father, I want to thank you for your amazing, unconditional love. And even though Abraham and Sarah, especially Abraham, describe him as a prophet, which he was, wasn't a perfect man. Sarah wasn't a perfect woman. But you know that we are dust. We're no different. And your ways are higher than our ways, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but we need to believe that your love is unconditional and help us to learn some lessons from the mistakes not only Abraham and Sarah made, but also the ones that we've made and will make. But we have your Holy Spirit, we have the power. And when we're enticed to go astray, which we will be, help us to remain faithful, remembering the price that you paid on that cross and how much you hate sin. we thank you that we've received your righteousness, your holy righteousness, and we don't feel righteous. We don't feel holy. We don't feel worthy. But we can't focus on ourselves because of our failures. We need to focus on Jesus, who gives us the victory. And while we live in this mortal body, we'll never be perfect. But we know one day we'll be like you. We'll see you as you are. There may be somebody listening to this message, wherever you are. Thank you for listening. I hope and pray that God spoke to you. You need to realize that even though you are a sinner, God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is God. He loved you so much that he died for your sins on the cross. He bled and died. He shed his precious blood, sinless blood, to wash away your sins so you wouldn't have to face judgment and the wrath of God. But you receive eternal life. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, believe that he died for you, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead and is alive. Ask him to come into your heart to save you from your sins. And then live for him for the years that remain in your life. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.